It's time to get wild with S.C. Wild. Everything hunting and fishing from the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources and your host, Phil Kornblut. S.C. Wild on Sports Talk on the South Carolina Radio Network.
Well, Pelagic back here with you on Sports Talk, South Carolina Radio Network. It is time for our twice monthly edition of SC Wild. Captain Billy Dunn with the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources is here with us. Do want to at least keep you updated on what's going on with South Carolina hoops. A 29-21 lead for Vanderbilt. That game is currently in the opening half of play. 7:39 to play in the opening half. They're at immediate timeout. Of course, Clemson men's basketball tonight against Georgia Tech. But it's time to talk about an overview of the hunting season as the weather continues to turn. We have some seasons that were closing, Captain, and others that are still ongoing.
Well, glad to see you again. The second time in 2019.
Yes.
So, yeah, we're going to start off a little waterfowl hunting season wrap-up still. Not wrapping it up totally. We still got a few more weeks of the season. We'll continue through January 27th. Activity's been slow. You know, it got a little warm this past week. Reports around the state, not a lot of birds. Again, we still got a lot of flooding. So we got a lot of water for local birds like wood ducks still spread out everywhere. But our Category 1 waterfowl area is still seeing some high success. So we're going to go over those a little bit. A little different breakdown tonight on the numbers from last week. The top waterfowl area for the week last week, surprising, Sandy Beach. That's an area over down on the edge of Lake Moultrie. Doesn't take a lot of hunters on the hunt, but they had the highest average. I think three people go on that hunt. But they had 5.7 ducks per man. The top duck in the bag there was green-winged teal with ringnecks in a close second. And a few blue-winged teal and gadwall showed up in the bag as well around third place. Our runner-up Category 1 area for the week was Cedar Island at Santee Coastal Reserve, with an average of 5.3 ducks per man. The top duck of the day there was gadwall. You're going to hear that again in a moment. So gadwall, a top duck there. Blue-winged teal is a distant second, with pintails in a close third.
So you're saying that the birds pushed out despite the milder temperatures? Is that something that's typical?
Milder temperatures don't bode well for birds. Typically, when we get a big cold rush of cold air, birds push in front of those. So you think cold air pushes birds out for us?
I would have thought, yeah.
Cold air pushes birds in. Typically, as the front moves across the country, birds are put. You know, you normally see that front
stay
at an angle.
So they'll
they're
stay
staying in front of that front.
So they stay ahead of it. Okay,
they stay ahead of it. So as it freezes, ponds freezes feeding areas up. They're moving in front of it to get to where they can feed. So when it's milder temperatures, sometimes they'll actually go backwards.
So you're telling me if I see a lot of birds, be prepped because the cold is coming.
That's right. The cold's coming. So when it's warm like that, we can see our birds go to North Carolina.
Gotcha.
They'll move up. I mean, so, but anyway, so.
Schlubs.
Third place for this week. Okay, so I said second place. I'm sorry. We'll skip a place. Second place was Cedar Island. Top duck in the bag was gadwall. Blue wing teal. Pintails close third. All right, so third place, Murphy Island at Santee Coastal Reserve. Same overall waterfowl hunt management unit, different area within the unit. Murphy Island, average of 4.7 ducks per man. Top duck in the bag there was gadwall with pintails in second. Very heavy on the pintails there. Green-winged teal rounded out the hunt in third.
So you're telling me a lot of gadwall and a lot of green-winged teal all across the state.
That's correct. And gadwall and green-winged teal would be a reflection of what our waterfowl hatch looked like this past year. Gadwall numbers are up, so we tend to see more gadwall. Green-winged teal numbers are up, so we see more green-winged teal. Blue-winged teal typically move through early in the season and come back through late in the season.
Now, you said that most of the Santee Coastal Reserve seems to be where all of the activity is concentrated.
Yes.
What are you guys doing as a department to, make sure that the other places folks can hunt at least our at least better over here the last 11 days of the season?
Well, no doubt. So it's a good question. Folks often ask, though, what's the best place to go? Where's the best place to go hunting? Because everywhere's not going to be the same.
Of course.
The Coastal Reserve has got a totally different management style than maybe your Broad River Impoundment, where you're doing flooded corn and things that you're growing a crop and you're flooding it with fresh water. Our coastal impoundments, you've got brackish water. You're growing, you may flood some corn there, but you're doing a lot of old rice field management. Mm-hmm. So you've got trunks and things moving water in and out. You're managing for widgeon grass and other wild food that waterfowl feed on. And traditionally, ducks have always been heavier on our coastline. That's where they've always come for years and years. So the coastal hunts have been very popular. Santee Coastal Reserve is the old Santee Gun Club back from the early 10s and 20s, back when some of the baseball greats came down here. Others, they went to Yawkey Island, you know, some of the great teams, and a lot of the more affluent northern folks would come hunt in the south, and they came down to our coastal area to hunt.
No Shoeless Joe Jackson sightings there maybe, or no? Could be.
I'm going to say I think that may be correct for Yawkey, though.
Interesting.
Because the owner was the owner of the – well, that would have been the White Sox. He was the Red Sox that owned
Yawkey.
So pretty cool. A lot of cool history there. So the top pintail hole of the week would have been the Cape at Santee Coastal Reserve.
No surprise.
So overall, Santee Coastal Reserve's in the front right now, which is a good thing. You talked about management for us. The last 5 to 6 years, we saw a lot of good success down at Bear Island again.
Yeah.
Bear Island in the past was always a big place. Great management going on there still, but the Cape's got a lot better. There have been some improvements made there, so we're seeing birds up there as well. So when you do improvements and you improve that habitat, you have more food, typically that does equal more ducks.
But you're telling me, again, a lot of this is out of your control because of the, I would say, abnormal winter we had?
Sure. Weather. When you have mild weather, you don't have a lot of ducks a lot of times.
And the wet weather, obviously.
And the wet weather, of course, gives ducks a lot of more areas to go to. And there's other factors, too. Some of our impoundments inland have been we talk about Sandy Beach, around Lake Moultrie. Well, other factors have changed. Mm-hmm. And on Lake Moultrie and Lake Marion, where we used to have lots of hydrilla and submergent vegetation there, it's gone now. Mm-hmm. Some of those things have changed. So ducks don't come to our lake as much to feed.
Right.
So that changes the patterns of ducks, too. The coast has always been pretty consistent, though.
800-956-7266. If you have a question for Captain Billy Downer here on SC Wild, we'll gladly take them here for you. So as far as, and again, this is probably a little early just because the season's not over yet, but what I guess you could say is a roundup thing, or at least something that you guys as a department are looking for, at least when the next season opens up, is there something you want to look toward to try and either change some of the habitats to make sure that you're at least able to shoulder this load a little bit differently?
Well, I'll say this. There's a lot of folks that are quick to jump and point out when our waterfowl areas aren't right.
Mm-hmm.
They're quick to jump and say our
you
folks,
too, huh?
our folks that jump and say, you know, it's not just in sports. They're quick to jump and say the coach is screwed up. You know, the coach is really messing up, get rid of it. So people are quick to jump and criticize on our WMAs. And I'm going to say this. I don't know of a harder working staff than we have.
Of course.
And I'm on the law enforcement side. Our guys work hard on law enforcement, but our wildlife management folks work very hard. They take pride in their work. They don't get paid a lot of money to do the work they do. They should get paid a whole lot more. Everybody wants to say we all should get paid more, but they take a lot of pride in their work. And the fruits of their work sometimes go unnoticed. Just because somebody may have a bad year ducks doesn't mean that bumper crop of corn wasn't sitting there, that they worked time in, day out at night, daylight to dusk, planting, spraying, keeping things good. But our managers on our areas work very hard, and just from year to year, some things happen. Hurricanes have happened the last 3 years, 4 years consistently. We've had loss of dikes blown out, and our folks continue to work to make it successful for the hunter that comes in and spends that $20 to put in for our draws, to get there. There's not a better dime you can spend for the product that you get than our Category 1 areas. A lot of props for our folks. They work very hard, and even though sometimes the result may not be what the hunter wants, it's still a really pretty good deal they get there. And I'm proud of our folks. They do a great job. I was down at Donnelly just the last 2 days. Beautiful areas there. Ducks aren't as much as they've been in the last few years, but still beautiful impoundments.
That's a great overview of the waterfowl hunting season with Captain Billy Downer. We're going to come back, talk about a little night hunting for coyotes, or coyotes, depending on your preference.
The yote.
The yote is strong with you. We'll continue that here with SC Wild on Sports Talk, South Carolina Radio Network.
time to get wild with SC Wild. Everything hunting and fishing from the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources and your host, Phil Kornblut. SC Wild on Sports Talk on the South Carolina Radio Network.
Welcome back, Sports Talk. It is SC Wild. Will Pelagic along with the captain, Billy Donner, from the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources. Before we get into the night hunt for the coyotes, you had a youth issue that you wanted to bring up here with the folks.
Oh, yeah. Not an issue, but just a little excitement, a little brag. We got this weekend is our state trap tournament. This is our trap open. We have 480 youth shooting this weekend for trap.
Wow. Very nice.
That will be another record for us as far as kids at a trap. It would be the largest youth trap event that's ever been held in the state. Just the numbers continue to blow me away. But 480 kids shooting at the Palmetto down at the NWTF in Edgefield. If you haven't shot at the Palmetto, I encourage you to go down there. It's open, I think, Wednesday through Sunday. The Palmetto, the NWTF.
Very, very much looking forward to that for our youth. Very, very good to get them started as early as possible.
We're on to night hunting for coyotes.
We're ready.
Deer season's out. It's the time of year folks like to focus on some predator hunting. A lot of interest in that. If you look at the sportsman channels, there's a lot of interest in coyote hunting now. But the Coyote Harvest Incentive Program was created by the Budget Proviso 4710, passed in 2016 by the South Carolina General Assembly. This proviso directs the department to develop and implement a coyote tagging and reward program. We're in year three of that. Mm-hmm. That's our reward program there. We continue to tag 16 coyotes per year in four regions of the state. So they tag they trap four coyotes in four regions and tag them and release them back. They may cross them over so that they're not in the same areas. But 14 out of 16 for this year have been tagged. We have two more to go. So the coyotes pretty much have been tagged for this year. They're tagged with an ear tag, which is very visible, big white tag. They have specific information embossed on them. If anyone takes one of these tagged coyotes, save the carcass for verification, and contacts DNR, you will receive a lifetime hunting license for free.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was the incentive program, was to encourage folks. There was a fear that folks were not as concerned about the coyote problem we have in our state. Of course, coyotes were not a natural predator in this state, but they have come in for the last 40 years through natural migration and by being imported in illegally, both ways. The first coyote came in the 70s in Union County, naturally.
Why would people import coyotes illegally?
So there was a lot of folks like to run their dogs with foxes, foxhounds. You heard of foxhounds?
Yes.
Well, coyotes will run faster, and the dogs can't catch them, so they get a longer, quote-unquote, run. So for many years, there were folks bringing them in illegally. Our undercover team throughout the last 20 years has worked on and off on that problem, trying to control that. One of the biggest indicators that there was a lot of illegal importation of coyotes was after Hurricane Hugo, when all of the pens got blown down. Coyotes popped up everywhere, and when you looked, the coyotes were popping up where these pens were, fox pens. So again, not all fox pens are illegal. Not saying that at all, but there were coyotes brought in illegal in some cases, and that has helped to spread them.
We have a call here, 800-956-7266. Chuck is calling from Greenwood. Chuck, you're on with Captain Billy Downer here on SC Wild.
Go ahead, Chuck.
Yes, sir. I would like to request that the state put a bounty on any coyote anybody brings into them.
That's not necessarily – that's kind of the idea of the reward program, of course. When you put a bounty on coyotes unlimited, there's not an unlimited amount of resource to pay for coyotes that are taken. So this is one way to kind of do what you're saying. So that's the idea behind the reward program, is to put attention on the coyote, to attract folks to try to take more coyotes. A total so far of 18 coyotes have been taken out of the 32 released in the last 2 years, not to include the 14 so far this year have been released.
And you have some others that are being used for educational purposes.
Well, now, that's a true point. But again, back to this, his point is true. That was why the incentive program was created, was to put a bounty, so to speak, to give an interest, get people to be more interested in taking coyotes. Mm-hmm. And it's done a little bit of increased awareness on that. Mm-hmm. Now, at the same time, there's a study going on right now, and the department has been in the process of tagging and releasing a few coyotes with GPS collars, and that's a study with Clemson University, a separate study here. The GPS collars are placed on both coyotes and deer, or on the being in the process of being placed on coyotes and deer right now in the same area. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, they're also, along with GPS collars on the deer, they're fitting does with transmitters mm-hmm. that will actually alert the study group when the does drop fawns, mm-hmm. which is very interesting.
Very interesting.
But the whole point of this study is to determine the interaction between coyotes and deer. We know that coyotes predate on deer fawns. We don't know how that interaction happens. When it happens, is it when the fawns actually drop before they get up, before they can walk? When does it happen? It's important to kind of learn that. Do coyotes start following these does around that are near birth? What's happening here? So a lot of interesting facts can happen from the study.
Can they sense a pregnant doe?
That's part of the study, to kind of figure that out, to see what the interaction is. So along with this, if you take a coyote and it has a GPS collar, please let DNR know. Mm. Again, it's not a penalty. It's just we'd like to know if that animal's been taken so they can get that collar back so the study can continue.
Got it.
But again, so coyote season is in right now. Coyotes are open for shooting all year long. There's no closed season on coyotes. They can be hunted year-round on private lands with a valid hunting license. A free depredation permit can be issued to landowners that do not have a hunting license, see a depredation permit, that's specific to depredation permits. The use of bait and electronic calls are legal for hunting coyotes. On private lands, coyotes may be hunted with any firearm during daylight hours at any time of year. Now, feral hogs, coyotes, and armadillos, it's always funny to pair up an armadillo with a coyote and a feral hog, mm-hmm. but hogs and coyotes can be hunted at night on registered property on which a person has a lawful right to hunt using any legal firearm, bow and arrow or crossbow. This includes the use of bait, electronic calls, artificial lights, and night vision devices. A property may be registered online on the DNR website at dnr.sc.gov/night hunt. So if you go to the DNR website, look for night hunt permit, and you'll see that registering property. It must be registered annually. Property registration is required once annually, as prescribed by DNR for each property. The night hunting season is January 1st to December 31st of each year, regardless of when the property is registered. So that was another part of this kind of toolbox we put together to control coyotes, is they opened up night hunting for coyotes year-round and for hogs. Both feral hogs and coyotes are a problem. They're not natural to this state, but they've taken over. They're almost everywhere. Hogs are another big problem. And so the department, along with the legislative support, has opened up season basically on those two animals to try to control their numbers. So, again, night hunting is open. You have to register online at DNR website. So it's unlawful to hunt hogs, coyotes, and armadillos at night on property not registered with DNR. Mm-hmm. So you've got to register the property. That helps us know where this is taking place because, again,
even if it's a private land.
Even private land, because you're not limited to your firearms. It's important we know where someone is going to be out there with a high-powered rifle. Persons convicted of night hunting for deer, bear, or turkey during the previous 5 years are ineligible to hunt feral hogs, coyotes, or armadillos at night. So it's that time of year. Coyotes, it's a great you're doing a service to wildlife and to our environment to remove these animals because they are not supposed to be here.
Very good. Anything else you want to add as a final thought?
Final thought, if you haven't gone shooting, go shooting at a range, one of our DNR ranges across the state. Enjoy that pastime. We have ranges in Spartanburg, Pickens, down at Belfast in Lawrence County, one down here in Watery, the Watery Range here in Richland County, at Twin Ponds on the National Forest down out of Charleston County in Allendale, and then also down at Flatchcola Range in Hampton County.
Look forward to seeing you next month.
Yes, sir. Look forward to it.
Captain Billy Downer with us on SC Wild. Corn will be back in studio with us tomorrow for another edition of Sports Talk. South Carolina Radio Network will recap the basketball. As it sits right now, Vanderbilt leads South Carolina 37-27 with less than a minute to play in the opening half. Talk to you tomorrow.